Hi, Tara.
Hi, Genevieve.
I feel very privileged. This is opening night. Crazy moment. And I guess we'll see this, you know, we'll listen to this in a couple of weeks and kind of go, ooh, what the hell? I don't want to take too much of your time. And thank you so much for being here. And merci for everything. I mean, it's been such a, you know, such a flowy, groovy process. And it's been a long time coming. I'd love to hear your creation story on this piece.
Wow. Righty. Well, first of all, though, thank you for housing it. That's so huge. This is just absolutely one of the most wonderful venues on Turtle Island. So it's a big deal to be here and to be partnered with you and your team and PTE. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. Yeah, this sparked from an offer by good old TMJ, Thomas Morgan Jones, who asked me to write a climate piece. And I knew he wanted to talk commission with me. And I was like, oh, of course, like whatever it is, I'll hopefully say yes. Although I have learned my lesson about not saying yes to something that you feel certain is not your place to be. But he asked me about a climate change piece, and I felt certain I had nothing in me about that. And then right as I said, boom, the image came in, and it's the character that Tracy Niemanak is playing, which is 100% inspired by Bernadette Smith's story and the way that Drag the Red was founded and why it was founded and how profoundly sad that had to even happen in the world, let alone here in beautiful Treaty One. And so immediately, yeah, this powerful matriarch pulling these hooks that used to be pulled by a motorized boat and by, you know, a dedicated team of volunteers, this woman who's now by herself and who is seeking and seeking and seeking maybe for eternity, and the bright moments of hope that she could encounter, and the way that Indigenous women's, girls and Two-Spirit peoples, the way that our bodies are treated, how very much that is always a parallel with how the earth is treated. And where do we find the hope in that, in the reality of that? And also just working to shine the light on that so that it's not possible for people to look away, you know, to point out the ludicrousness of hashtag search the landfill. How could that ever have become a thing? And it really became a journey of walking for me. I was supposed to, I did a draft. It felt very, very nebulous initially. Shortly after the first draft, I felt pretty certain we needed French as well. And that immediately, Tom wanted to speak with you and was excited to partner with you artistically and producing wise. And so that started to dawn, and that opened up the idea of having a pre-contact language as well. So a language that was born from the earth here just makes so much sense. And I don't have the capacity to write in French. I don't have the capacity to write in any Indigenous language. And the reality of that, the grief of that, and the hope that there, hope and reality of the fact that there are Indigenous matriarchs out there who do have those capacities, who I could partner with, who would collaborate with my English telling and make it reach so much further, was huge. And that really opened up the connectivity amongst the characters in the piece. And it took me some time, but I did eventually get there and realize what those relationships were.
There's what I find, I guess the for me, the beauty, touching, that all types of emotions, is the fact that we take women's names and we embody them. Mm-hmm. You've managed to make them live as human beings. Like I'm sorry, I'm being nebulous myself, but we have names, and there are some connotations that, you know, and biases that we to pictures that we see. And there's really, I was just wondering where you gathered those stories, those and making them human, and the idea of not looking away from it, not being able to look away from it, is because the stories are so powerful of these women.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I feel like one of the signals from the ancestors and the universe that I am fortunate enough to receive that helps me to keep working when the work gets really hard is that characters come to me quite formed. So I understand how they are. I know how they're going to speak. Sometimes they'll sort of overlap, and then the work, the math of it, is separating them to be distinct people. But most of these women did arrive quite well formed, which felt like quite a big blessing. And then after that, you know, it's really just what we do as artists, which is staying open to all of the channels and all of the signals and the signs and the weather and people that we love and why we don't like other people and what we dislike about ourselves and what we're working on. And we just gather that all up and try to stay open to the signs so that we walk the right path. And the challenges of this one were huge, but they were also, it was an interesting piece to write for me because I will default into the intellectual and neglect my physical self quite often, like as a default, as a safety zone. But this one required that I walk the same as the central character Trip. She walks and she walks and she walks. And whenever I had a moment where I was like, I don't think I'll ever figure this out, I walked and I walked and I walked. It would be really interesting to look back on my steps over these past few years and see how many kilometers I actually logged in the finding of this piece. Yeah, you know, it's having women who came before us, even if it's just a little bit before us and after us now too. Like, I feel like we're so much in the same generation, and we have, you know, we have Marie Clements and we have Yvette Nolan, and here in this city, like younger than us, Frances Concan. I mean, I can't name everybody. There's so many people. And I remember so clearly seeing Yvette's, the production she directed at Native Earth in 2003 of Marie Clements' Unnatural and Accidental Women. There are so many of us on stage, and everybody had a name, and even just the naming of people every time somebody would come up just felt powerful. Shortly after that, I saw Yvette's own play, Annie Mae's Movement, which I think, if I remember it correctly, concludes with a really long list of names. And at the same time, the Scrubbing Project, the Turtle Gals, were doing a piece where there was a list of names that actually rolled out on cloth and went out into the audience, and they invited people to add names. So something about naming it, you know, and that's another hashtag that brings hope, is say her name. And we do, and say their names, and say their name. So that's what this is, really. And being able to be here in your art home and bring this story to life, it's of enormous import that you are the leader here, and that you lead with the full wisdom that leadership is a service position. And that shines through, I think, in everything inside this building, and has been throughout the making. So it's, yeah, you know, start with a real woman, and I think great women, you get to collaborate with great women.
We're going to shift over to your directing.
Yeah, that's a shift,
because,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, for sure. And I always find it so, there's mystery around how you transform from being the writer to the director. Can you give any insight into how that went for you?
Yeah, I think I can. And again, part of it was because we had this triad of producers. We were able to do at least a few workshops over the internets, and even see some of our cast together interacting and see how the energies would play out. So I do feel that by the time we arrived in the rehearsal hall on day one, she was ready to move. The work with the languages did prove more expansive than I expected it to be. We kept encountering things that would slow us down, And so we just agreed that we needed to respect what the slowing down, why that kept happening. And as you said, like, and as Michel Lagasse, the stage manager, said so brilliantly, this is a place of flow. The play is a river. So go with the flow. So that's what we've been trying to do. So, but yeah, it is difficult at times to turn off the playwright brain. A funny example is one of the characters is named Tanya. And I like the ah in her name. It's like ah, because she has this brash side to her. And she's the fresh air and open window, I think, on the piece. And she actually, you know, I mean, she's quite central to it in many other ways. But I wanted a Tanya. And everybody kept saying Tanya. I was like, okay, everybody, let's rehearse Tanya. But what kept coming out of their bodies was Tanya. So I was like, let it go, playwright. Like, you're not the boss of everything. Like, if I was, I'd be a novelist, but I haven't written my novel yet, so I might not even be capable of being the boss of everything. So it's funny because my playwright self has to surrender to the director's self, and the director listens from such a different place, as you well know. So it's a shift, and sometimes playwright comes back when a line, say, consistently emerges from an actor in the way that the playwright would say is incorrect. Then you have to go, okay, what is this? What is this? This is informing us somehow. So again, like staying open to it and rolling with it. But of course, you know, if it kills a joke or something, then you have to go word perfect and timing perfect. But it's an interesting thing to have surtitles throughout the piece too, because that's a return to the intellect, to the text. And so Jack, the brilliant Jack Meyer, just asked me, if permission, Tara, if an actor consistently flips words or changes a sentence throughout the run, do I have your permission to change that in the surtitles? And I was like, no. So the playwright is the playwright's still here.
For sure.
And maybe never lets go, but the director, this is my moment of letting go as a director. So thanks for asking for this conversation now, because as I said, I'd just be stewing in anxiety otherwise, and I'd rather be doing this.
I'm super interested in, and it's not you're weaving all these conversations with your life partner, and Andy Morrow, and who's done such a brilliant work on designing. I just wanted to know, like, how that conversation, I'm just curious how that conversation flows between the two of you and how you came to, let's say, because Andy came, I'm sure you had many conversations over the last few years, because Article 11 is co-producing this as well. And Andy's work is so woven into the piece. Like, did that inform even the writing? How did that work, that relationship in the fact that you're, you know, a daily thing? Like, it's it's a long-term conversation.
It sure is. Yeah, you're dead right. It's still, you know, just like every relationship that hasn't died, it's still evolving, and we learn more all the time, and it changes all the time. But yeah, it was actually, Andy was pivotal for me as a playwright. I met him, we've worked together several times before we were ever partners, and when that was not remotely on the table. And when I saw his work, Daniel McIver was doing a final tour of his solo shows, like performing it for them for the final time himself. That was his exit. And I had never seen him perform. So at the time, my then roommate, Michaela Washburn, said, oh, my good friend Andy's designing for this some play over at Buddies in Bad Times. Do you want to go see it? And I was like, what is it? I don't know. She doesn't remember names. So I looked it up. I was like, oh, my goodness, this is Daniel McIver stuff. Of course I want to go. So I went. And at the time, I was conceiving of a solo actor show. And I was so accustomed to the culture of no in theater. And I was feeling really disheartened about it. And then when I saw Andy's work and the way that he worked with the Daniels and how that's a place of yes. And how do we make so much out of this, you know, this really like culture of poverty? Like, theater often is so underfunded. And so we have all these great minds and these great creators here. To see what he was capable of, I then felt like I could write anything as long as I could have him as a designer. So that was a major life change for me, just knowing that he was out there in the world. So, so now I think everything can be staged. I really do.
Well, he does definitely give that vibe. Yeah, and ambitious too. That's the thing. Yeah. Like it's not, there's a lot of, it's a massive set, like mm-hmm. the weight of the set, you can feel it. Like even when you walk into the room, which is, and it talks to you, like yeah. it's definitely has, definitely have a conversation with all those components. Yeah.
Yeah. So true.
Wow. So you're opening tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. It's been a week.
Yes. Like, it's been a year-long week.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. And the just how that this whole week has flowed has been just so like embedded in some mysterious ways and also in so much how do you say that? Pas confiance, but there's truth in there, and then there's also just you talked about flow, and you talked about, but there's also a lot of just having confidence in the process, basically. Mm-hmm. Like I love how these processes happen, and then they kind of come together, and you don't really know how it all came together, but it did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's so mysterious.
Yeah, and I mean, this is not new for the theater process because no. this pretty much happens every single time. I feel
no. Every time I think we all go, why am I doing this? And then it does come together, and then there's an audience, and then there's a whole new layer.
Yeah,
contribute this whole new magical layer, and it's so impossible, and we just keep doing it.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I love I love that when you're in that. It's so difficult sometimes, though. There's some moments where you just feel like, whoa, mm-hmm. the weight of it is. But what I loved when I was walking in the room a lot of the time is you have such such a humanity to you, I feel, and like such a not wanting to have too much weight for people to carry. Like you seem to carry, not carry, because it doesn't feel heavy on you, but I just, there's so much light, I feel.
Oh, thank you.
It just felt so like you were willing to go all the way with this, let's say.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like once people have read the play and they agree to collaborate with us on it, that's already an agreement that is so huge and so heavy and of so much importance to all of us that it's already there. So then to demystify, you know, from the word to the impulse, we just have to do that with care and meet people where they're at. And yeah, it's a constant surrender, isn't it? Like the process is a constant surrender. And, you know, I mean, I'm 48 now, and it used to be that I would just grind my gears all the time and be, you know, be really aware of like, oh, that actor's behind in this scene and that person's like slowing us up here and that person. But now I'm just like, okay. Like, what is this big picture? And like, what accommodations do we have to create that will serve not only the individual who may be not at the, you know, the mean pace of everybody else, but also what's that telling us? Like, the people who accept the invitation to collaborate are always going to teach you more about the piece than you ever would have by just staying at home and rewriting the thing a million times. So yeah, I guess it's you surrender as soon as somebody else reads it, you surrender it to the world. So who knows? I just might become a perfectly calm and relaxed individual by the time I'm 110.
I wish that for you. Very,
you. Very much. I don't think I want to stick around quite that long.
Me neither. I don't think 110's a...
Yeah.
Especially when... anyways... There's a dystopic kind of take on this play as well, right? We're not quite in the Handmaid's Tale realm, but it's definitely. Thank you, Tara.
Thank you.
I totally appreciate you spending time. And I've been very much admiring this whole process and feel so, so privileged to be able to partner up and have these conversations. And just for me, I just love watching. I love listening and I love watching. It's my favorite part of looking at processes.
Oh, so cool. Yeah, and thank you. We're so grateful. Article 11 is so grateful. And just for all the women that you've invited in, and some of whom we've met for the first time, and your brilliant team here, and it's been really beautiful.
Merde.